It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the Gospel of John. We're in the second chapter, John chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 17 today. So please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 2, verse 17. And we're going to begin the study there. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Again, the Gospel of John chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." And when then answered the Jews and said unto him, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days?" But he spake of the temple of his body. And when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now let's end the reading there, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and study your precious word today. It's such a joy to be able to open up the word of God and to study the word of God. Please that you will guide and lead us now through this study, that we may learn much from you, dear Lord. We know that the Holy Spirit is the great teacher, and so please that we listen prayerfully and carefully today and learn and just grow so much from studying your precious word. So I just ask that you'll guide and lead us today as we open your book. Enjoy it. Be led by it. Those that are lost will be saved by it. Those that are saved will grow by it. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus begins his ministry here, we have the first miracle, marriage at Canaan, where he turned the water into wine. We have enjoyed that study. And now we find that he has arrived at the temple, and he comes into the temple courtyard there. He is at the Passover. The Passover is, again, one of the feasts that is necessary to come to Jerusalem for, to fulfill the law. And Jesus, of course, fulfilled the law in every way. And so he was there. And we know that the Passover was started back in Egypt. The rest of the feasts had received the information on what they were and how they were to be performed from Mount Sinai when he received the Ten Commandments. But this one, the Passover, was one that goes clear back to the dismissal of the Israelites out of Egypt by the Pharaoh because of the death of the firstborn. And that's where this Passover started with, the Passover lamb, and then prepared in a certain way, and then they would find themselves being saved, because when they took the blood, as they were told, they took the blood and they applied it on the doorpost, on the lintel, and then when the death angel passed by and saw the blood, he passed over. You see, no death took place in there. And my dear friend, if you're covered by the blood of Jesus, death will not come. Yes, a physical death, because we don't want to stay in this old body, but no spiritual death. So please, please, that you come by faith to Jesus Christ today and trust in the cross of Calvary. Jesus died there, took your sins away, that you can live. Please trust in him today. Look to him today and be saved. Please be saved. And so we look at our Lord being at Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, at the Passover, and we find him arriving, and he does some cleaning. He does some house cleaning that is desperately needed because of all the activities, the trading and things like that that was going on in the courtyard there next to the temple. And it's so sad as we look at what was taking place, because these people, these money changers here, they had made religion something of convenience. And it is so sad today that we are much of the same mindset. We desire that everything be convenient. You know, we have church at a convenient time. Many churches start having a Saturday evening service for the convenience of the people. And, you know, that way, you got all day Sunday to just do whatever you want to do. And that is so wonderful. Well, I'm sorry, we should not change our plans for man. There's nothing wrong with putting out a little extra effort to be in the house of God, to come to hear the Word of God. It seems as though that if anyone is going to be late for anything, he's late for church, he's not late for work, he's not late for a ball game, he's not late for dinner, but he's late for church. And you find that church, Sunday school, those things are just kind of secondary. We come when we feel like it. We get there when we do. And it's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. It's important to be in the house of God. It's important to hear the Word of God. It's important to be taught the Word of God. It's important to study the Word of God. And it's important that we do it with a great conviction and not with just whatever is easy. And these money changers here, they were bringing the livestock right next to the temple so that you could come in, put a few bucks down, buy some less than perfect animal for your sacrifice, take it in, sacrifice it, okay, I've done my job, that's it. And that is exactly the way most people treat their church and their God today. And that is so, so sad. My dear friend, don't do it. It's important to praise God, to honor God, to serve God, and not to just do it out of your own, whenever it's easy for you, when it's simple for you. And here they had, you know, they weren't giving their best. You're to give your best unto the Lord. You're to give your first unto the Lord. Here was just kind of leftovers, whatever they could buy. And, you know, yeah, that animal looks good enough for me. No thought to it, no planning to it, no consideration that I want to bring my best unto the Lord. And so we should do the same thing with our service, with our monies. We should do the same thing. We should bring our first, we should bring our best, and we should be in great service unto the Lord. And so please that you don't, let's don't put the Lord in the back seat here. Well, these folks had, and we can just read this very quickly here. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen poured out the changers of money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And that's today, you know, here, this work with the radio programs, with the internet, with keeping up the facility here, with the other support that we give in the mission work of the Lord, it is all done from God's people. It is not accomplished through soup suppers, things of that sort. And so we find that you want to have a soup supper, wonderful. Invite the community in, have a soup supper. We don't charge for it. You want to have a ice cream social, wonderful. Make the ice cream and make the sandwiches and invite the public in and just come in and fellowship and have a wonderful time. That's great. Don't charge for it. God's people is responsible for God's work, not the community. And so please that you understand that. And I think God will bless you for it. And go out, preach the word, and in season, out of season. And let's watch God multiply and take care of you. So now we come and we find here that this scripture verse, and we look at this scripture verse here, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And if you look at Psalm 69:9, and let's go back there, Psalm 69:9, you'll find the Lord constantly repeating himself, quoting his word, something that had been prophesied from old. And here is no different. Psalms 69, see if we can come up with it here. There we go, Psalm 69:9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. And so you see the Lord here in verse 17, he is, or the disciples here are remembering the word of the Lord, remembering back in Psalm 69:9. That's what we should do. When something happens, we should be zealous to bring glory to God at all times in all that we do. We should have a zeal. We should have a desire. Now, here it was a desire to take out something that was evil. But whatever it is, whatever we're doing in the name of the Lord, whatever we're doing in praising him and honoring him, we should do with a zeal in our heart. Only it should all, must be all based upon the Word of God. It has got to be set upon the Word of God, and nothing, not just you can have a zeal and be totally wrong. And here the Lord was not wrong in his anger with these people and coming in and taking care of it. You know, the very moment that Jesus was casting out these buyers, these sellers, the animals, overturning the tables, all the money changers, what proof we have here that even the disciples, many poor and unlearned, knew much about the Old Testament. Because, again, the disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." What a joy. What a joy to see these unlearned, poor. They still knew the Word of God. Do you know the Word of God? When something takes place, does it come back to your mind that, oh, yes, that wonderful scripture verse. Oh, yes, I remember John chapter 3. I remember when God came in, that John chapter 2 and verse 14, when he found in the temple those money changers and this livestock that was less than best. And he came in, he cleaned that house out. I remember that. Oh, I remember John chapter 3, verse 3, when he says, "You must be born again." Oh, do we remember the Word of God? Do we study the Word of God? Do we spend enough time in the Word of God that those things, when something would take place, do we remember them? You know, and as we come so close and so soon to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is so important that we know His Word, that we've memorized His Word, that it comes to our heart and our mind, and we know it. Oh, please, my friend, that we can understand that and recognize. The need, the great need to know the Word of God. Now, we come to verse 18, and it says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" It seemed like that they didn't have a problem with arresting him for tearing up the place, for running everybody out. They wanted some credentials. Who are you? That's what they wanted to know. These must have been probably the Sanhedrin or the chief priests, rulers of the temple. And they come asking the Lord Jesus these questions. Who are you that you would do such a thing? Because only someone of authority could do this. So why have you done this? Well, his answer to them, Jesus said unto them, "Destroy this temple in 3 days, and I will raise it up again." And so, what a wonderful thing here. They wanted to know. They wanted proof that Jesus had the authority to do this. And that was where this question come from. Well, look at this answer here. And, of course, we know that the Lord Jesus is talking about his body and how that he will be crucified, be laid in the grave, and he will be dead for 3 days. And after 3 days, he'll rise from the dead. He was talking about the temple, his body. Well, of course, the Sanhedrin, whether it was the high priest or the rulers of the temple or whoever it might have been, they immediately looked to the temple because, you see, this temple, Herod's temple at this time, was a great work that had been going on, and they tell us here for 46 years, and this temple isn't even finished at this time. They continue to build and to build and to build and continue to work on it for 46 years. And you said, in 3 days, you know, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. How can this be? And again, verse 21, why he tells us that he spake of the temple of his body. And when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had said. Isn't it wonderful here how progressively the disciples are growing? You know, are you growing in the Lord? Are you enjoying the Word of God? Are you faithful to the house of God? Do you come? And I hope that you have church on Sunday night and Wednesday night as well as on Sunday morning. I hope that you have Sunday school. I hope that you attend Sunday school. I hope that you don't miss an opportunity to come and hear the Word of God and fellowship with believers over the Word of God. It's a wonderful opportunity. It strengthens you through the week. It's just of necessity that we do this. So I just ask, and I hope that you can enjoy this, and I hope that you don't go, oh, I got to go to church. Oh, you know, I should be going to Sunday school. My friend, the joy of the Word of God, there is nothing more exciting, nothing more fun to hear and to understand and to fellowship with other believers over than the Word of God. And I hope that you feel the same way. I hope that you enjoy each day and you praise God and you enjoy walking with Him each day. But you find here that the disciples then, as they were learning, first up here, they saw the Lord do something, and they remembered the Word of God. And now they have heard once again Jesus say something, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. And they then later, when Jesus was risen, you know, through that time of that 3 days and through the crucifixion, they kind of forgot those things. Well, if they would have pondered on him, they would have thought, no, my Lord is going to be raised in 3 days. And they would have been looking for the risen Lord after that 3 days. They would have been excited. They wouldn't have been, wondering what they were going to do now. Their leader has been killed. What am I going to do? They wouldn't have been thinking about that at all. All they would have been thinking about and concentrating on would be finding the risen Lord. Where is he going to come? Is he going to, should I be out at the grave? Should I stay right there? Because that's where he's going to come out. Should I be there? Instead of that, they'd kind of missed it. But they did remember. And so, once again, remember that as a Christian, it is important to grow. It's a progression. You'll grow day by day by day. But we have to be with Jesus to do that. Well, these men stayed with Jesus. And all the way through the cross, and then on to the resurrection, and then enjoyed his fellowship for 40 days before he ascended back into the heavens to his Father. So, but isn't it wonderful here? They believed and therefore he was risen from the dead. This is in verse 22. And his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So you see, they go back into the only thing that was written at this time was the Old Testament. And so they get to looking at those Old Testament scriptures that speak of the coming of the Messiah and the raising from the dead and all those wonderful things. They begin to enjoy that and remember that. And I hope that through your life and through the challenges of each day, that you remember those things. I hope they come to your mind, come to your heart, and it's just a joy for you to realize and recognize the love of Jesus Christ, his power, his strength, his growth. I just want you to please look to the Lord Jesus Christ, but please study His Word of God. Study His Word. Study the Word of God. Please, look to it faithfully each day. And now we look on to verse 23. Now, when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed on His name when they saw the miracles which He did. Do you realize that, I mean, we have the turning the water into wine, but He healed. He raised from the dead. There was miracle after miracle that Jesus performed on a daily basis that are not recorded in His Word. But every time that He was present, it seems as though that He performed some miraculous miracle that was beyond any person's imagination, ability to explain or anything. It just seemed that it was constant. It was constant. Why did they believe on Him? He performed a miracle that was beyond what they could imagine, and they believed Him. They began to believe Him. Well, Jesus performed a miracle in my life when He saved me. He took my sin away, and I know He did. And I believe on His name, and I serve Him, I praise Him. It's such a joy to walk with Jesus each day, to study His Word, and to enjoy His Word. In verse 24, but Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. You know, Jesus had His time schedule, and He stayed with that time schedule. He knew man's heart. Different than you and I, when we begin to share the gospel with someone or we begin to talk to someone, we don't know truly if they're born again or not, only by their own voice speaking it or by their testimony that they give in their life do we feel like we know that they're born again. But we don't know because we can't see the heart. But you see, Jesus can. And when Jesus was walking on this earth, He could see the soul and see the heart and the spiritual heart. And He knew that this person was born again, that he had come truly by faith. No matter what the action or the outside looked like, Jesus knew the heart. And so He could look at these people and He could know that, yes, they believed. And He could look again and see that, no, they were just giving Him lip service. There was nothing about them that was true or of any reality or strength. And so He would just move and wouldn't take time because He knew their heart. He knew that if He performed a dozen miracles, that they may follow Him, but they wouldn't believe on Him. And you see, you've got to do more than just follow. And when you come to church, you know, that's kind of your principles of following. That's not much. You need to do more than that. You need to believe on His name. You need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this scripture verse here begins with this chapter begins with the marriage in Canaan, and it ends saying that there were many, many miracles performed. And just such a joy to see continually how the Lord showed His power and showed His strength. And, you know, He came to this earth to become a man and yet perfect. He was God-man. He came to this earth to live, to feel all the pain and all the heartache and all the suffering that we feel, and then to die on the cross of Calvary to save us, to take our sin away. He was a perfect offering, a perfect sacrifice. Everything was done according to God the Father's plan, and Jesus the Son carried it out. And as Jesus carried this out and went to the cross and died on that cross and died at such an awful death, but the death that He died, that He suffered and died, was nothing compared with the sin that was laid upon Him. You see, He never had experienced sin until upon the cross when He took all of our sin. How did He do that? I don't know. But I know He did it. He took all the sins of all the world, the people that had lived and the people were going to be born many thousands of years later. And yet He died for all those sins and took them away. That all we need to do is come by faith. Doesn't cost a cent. You can't pay your way into heaven. But you need to come by faith. You need to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. We have in this next chapter, and we're going to just kind of introduce it today in the close of this study, and that is a wonderful study, and that is concerning Jesus and Nicodemus. It begins here in the beginning of chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now we're going to stop right there, because we're going to just give a little bit of introduction, and then we'll probably begin with that same introduction next time we get together. But this Nicodemus was a very religious man. He was what most churches, they would love to have this man, because he not only tithes, but he gives 20, 30, maybe a higher percentage of his income to the church, supporting it, because, you see, he was of a great position. And this man was a very religious man. He was a leader of the Jews, a leader. Now, to be a leader of the Jews, he was in the Sanhedrin. He would be as Paul. You know, he would be equal to Paul and have that kind of position as Paul had. And so to be such a teacher and an accomplished teacher of the Word of God, and yet he comes to Jesus by night. Now, was he sent by others, or did he fear others, and so he came by night? Was he with the others as they asked these questions concerning his authority to clean out the temple courtyard here where these animals were bought and sold? Was he part of the group with them? We're not told. But we are told that Nicodemus come to Jesus, and we're so thankful he did. You need to do the same. You need to come to Jesus. Now, Nicodemus had all the answers. He was a religious man, a very, very successful in what he was doing, but he was just religious, and that's my point. I don't want you to miss that today. The religion is not going to get you to heaven. You can be so faithful to your church, you can be there all the time, you can be the hardest worker, and you can die and go to hell. Nicodemus would have if he had not come to Jesus. He came by night. I don't care when you come, come. And he wanted some information. This man, Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles. What miracles? Same miracles they were talking about earlier there, that many believed. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did, back in verse 23 of chapter 2. And so you see, there was multitude of miracles here that the people witnessed, including the rulers. And Nicodemus was one of them. And again, I'm so thankful that he come, that he come. Please, please come. I beg you to come. I don't care if you're a pastor of a church. I don't care if you're a deacon or an elder or whatever you might be of any church anywhere. You need to come by faith to Jesus and be saved. You must be saved. You must be born again. That's the conversation here that Nicodemus is going to have with the Lord Jesus, or better yet, the Lord Jesus with Nicodemus. He's a teacher. He is a ruler of the Jews. He is a great educator in the things of Israel, of the Jews, and yet he missed the most important, and that is the Messiah has come. Jesus has come to seek and to save those that are lost. You need to do the same. You need to recognize that Jesus has come. He came 2,000 years ago. He finished the work. All you need to do is come by faith to him, and you're saved. And then you're going to want to serve him. You're going to want to give of your time and of your money in the support of the work. You'll want to. You don't have to, but you'll want to. We're going to continue this study next time. We'll begin with the third chapter once again. There's nothing more important than the Word of God. And some areas of Scripture are beautiful Scripture verses, and these are some of those of the most beautiful. So please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?